Well, good morning, friends. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I feel like I don't even have to preach. Adele and Crystal and the team, they just ministered to us this morning, and I feel like sometimes silence in the face of God is the appropriate response. And so I sort of feel that way. But here I am. I missed the meeting where if you haven't figured out the way we get assigned passages to preach on, it happens in a meeting. And it just so happens that I missed the last meeting. And a couple weeks later, when I saw the schedule and I was reading, looking for my name, and I kept on going down the list of Lenten Sundays, and I landed on Palm Sunday, and I had a few choice words and thoughts in my head. Why? Because after 42 years of life, I've heard 42 sermons on this passage, and I wrestle with the idea of trying to come up with something different or new for today. And so I struggled with this passage for the season of Lent. And maybe that's the appropriate thing, right? I struggled through this passage during the season of Lent. And we're still in that season, but we're at the tail end. And so here we are. I'm just going to go for it. We're a church on the way. Let's have a word of prayer. Or actually, let's read the passage first and then have a word of prayer. It comes from Luke 19, verses 28 through 40. Luke 19, verses 28 through 40. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he had come near Bethphage and Bethany, at the place called the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead of him, saying, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it.' So those who were sent departed and found it as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' They said, 'The Lord needs it.' Then they brought it to Jesus, and after throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sent Jesus on it. As he rode along, people kept spreading their cloaks on the road, and as he was now approaching the path down from the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest heaven.' Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, order your disciples to stop.' And Jesus answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the stones would shout out.'" The word of the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you on this Palm Sunday that you gather us here as a community on respite from the ministry out in our community. So as we gather here to continue to receive your word and your presence, would you be with us? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Do you ever feel like you just want to get there quick? Hurry up and get there. Only to find out that when you do get there, you want to go back, right? And it's not always a place on a map, but sometimes it's a place on the journey of life. You want to hurry up and get there. And when you get there, you want to go back. Some people, I don't find this in my life, but some people, they want to hurry up and get married. And when they get there, they're like, those are some good days back then, right? You know, you got to eat what you want, sleep when you want, you know, whatever, right? we want to hurry up and get there. But sometimes when we get there, we want to go back. I love my son, and I'm constantly amazed by this child of mine. But can I just say, I didn't expect, and no one told me, and it wasn't written in a book, that there were moments when I wanted to get there, and when I got there, I wanted to go back to sleep, to my space, to whatever, right? When they're still newborns, you're excited when they start to take that first crawl. And you say, go, Aaron, go for it. Yes, you are developing and growing. But when they finally do crawl, and they soon get to where they want to go, not where you want them to be, you think to yourself, can we go back when he couldn't get anywhere, couldn't crawl anywhere? Parents are nodding, yes, yes, right? And when they learn to walk, you're like, yes, that first step, and I have videos to prove how excited I was. But when they learn to run, you freak out at Costco because you can't control them and you think that they're going to run into something or run into another car because, you know, some kids, like mine, they don't watch where they're running or walking and they just go for it. And you think, can I go back to when they were crawling, right? Or when they've learned to throw a ball. And then soon enough, they learn to throw food and other things at you and at the flat screen TV. Or when they learn to speak and they soon learn the word no. And they mean it. And nothing you say will convince them otherwise. You think and you start to think, gosh, can I go back? You were in such a hurry to get there, but you want to go back. Sometimes you want to go back to another time. But this child of mine was a gift from God. And when you have a child on the way to growing, not only in size, but in spirit, the only thing you can do is to endure it. Endure the difficulties and challenges. And celebrate the life that God gives, thereby making me a better parent and a better human being. Sometimes you want to go back, but your child's on the way, and you got to keep on going. It's a deliberative act of faith and trust when you raise a child. Today's Palm Sunday, and we begin the last week of the season of Lent. And sometimes, you know, and this idea of going deep, I have to remind myself on this Palm Sunday that we can't hurry and get to that end place because there's a whole lot we might miss along the way that God is trying to teach us. The benefit of reading the passage today, and you may have not read the words Hosanna, and you may not have read the words palms, right? Those are in the Gospel of Mark and John. The benefit of reading this passage today is that we know where this path leads for Jesus. We see that this Palm Sunday scripture reading that we've dubbed the triumphal entry is this kind of strange combination of celebration and somber realization. The celebration that happens on this Palm Sunday. And church, in the church, we often focus on this celebration. Yeah. The unique elements in this passage, the small miracle of the colt that's never been ridden, all of a sudden subdued under Jesus' power. The scene of Jesus riding on this colt, the palm branches in Mark and John, the palm branches and the cloaks on the road and the shouts of blessing and praise, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, all point to a celebration of God's work and miracle among them and the coming king as told by prophecy. These signaled something that was coming and the crowds were excited. And we should too. We should recognize the work of God among us. And yet the temptation for us is to only pay attention to celebration, and in doing so, miss something in the somber realization. Even against the backdrop of the celebration, Jesus knows something more, right? The people that day may not have realized that the people of today, as we read this passage, we know there's something more too. Jesus knows what this taking this path means for him. And I wonder, can we dare to wonder whether Jesus wanted to go back, bemoaning what would be the start of the last leg of his own journey of life to the cross? I bet Jesus, in all of his humanity, wanted to turn around and go back to another time. I really do. But as we read in our passage, Jesus began this journey. And I think all the things, you know, in this passage, today I'm not going to talk a lot about all those elements that we talked about, the colt, the palm branches, the cloaks, and all of those things, even the shouts of Hosanna. But if you're familiar with this passage and have heard sermons around this passage, you know that those are signals, right? They're signals to the crowd and to the readers of this gospel story because they hearken back to prophecy. They hearken back to these images of the king, of the coming Messiah. So there's almost, if we think about it, if we were to kind of summarize what's going on, there is a very deliberative act going on in this journey. Jesus is beginning his journey in a very deliberate way. And part of it is a deliberate act of faith, trust, and obedience. I think that's where we need to land on this Palm Sunday today. This day amounts to a deliberate act of faith, trust, and obedience to continue on the way. We may want to go back, but we can't. We gotta move forward. But with what assurance? When I read this passage, I think of Psalm 23, that famous psalm, right? And that part in the middle of that psalm, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Or in the King James Version, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Psalm 23 reminds us that there are occasions in our life, in this journey of life, when we walk through the valleys. Through the valleys. Not over, not around, not under, but through. But that God goes with us through it all. This psalm almost calls us to a deliberate journey of faith and trust. Why? Because we are God's people, and we are a people on the way. And in this psalm, on this Psalm Sunday, or Palm Sunday, I want to remind you, church, that we are on the way. By on the way, this is what I mean. We are a people called to the way of Jesus. We are called to live the gospel fully alive. We are a people called to go deep in our faith and in our life. The deliberate way is the way that God calls us to on this Palm Sunday. Now, the deliberate way is not always the fast way. Not always, right? We can go through a litany of ways in which we find that going through a deliberate journey with God is not the fast way to get to Easter. Often it's a way of great difficulty, of lots of work, and insurmountable, or what seems to be insurmountable, challenge. I wonder what we will have to give up, change, or adopt into our lives as a church, as a people on the way. What will you have to give up? will we have to give up wealth? And by wealth, I don't mean to say that you are rich. I remember when I was in seminary. In seminary, I chose, God knows why, I chose to work at a church while I was studying grad school. And my duties at the church were to be the department head of the English-speaking congregation of the church. So I had to preach every Sunday, lead Bible studies on Fridays, lead retreats and other things. And I asked, or I didn't ask, I should have asked, what my compensation was. In one meeting, they said $980 a month. I said, is that before or after taxes? Before. I said, could you just make it $1,000? That would make me feel a whole lot better. But $980 it was. And I took it, because that's what you do. And I remember thinking how difficult it was to think of that as part of my wealth. And then to enter that act of obedience and of faith and trust in tithing. Because that's what I was preaching, folks. How does one tithe $980 when you're studying and you have to make things work out yourself? But what I found is that when I am on that deliberate act of faith and trust, when I was able to give up my hold to that wealth, even that small wealth for me, that God provided abundantly. And today, I can't explain to you, I really can't, how I got through 3 years of grad school. I really can't. But God provided. What do we have to let go on this deliberate journey with God? Do we have to give up power? Do we have to give up anger? Do we have to give up, what is it? Fill in the blank. Because God calls us to this journey. And you can only carry so much on a journey, right? You can only burden yourself with so much on any journey in life, whether you're on the hiking trail or you're on the journey of life. What will you have to let go, and what will you have to take on this journey? As a people on the way, we must take this deliberate journey with God. I suppose it's easier to go straight to Easter. And larger church, we are tempted to go straight to Easter. And Palm Sunday primes us for that, I think. Yeah. Because we focus on the celebration. And before we go through Holy Week, we're already at Easter. But this day, today, church, friends, let's take this deliberate journey through the Holy Week so that it can remind us of that deliberate journey of faith, trust, and obedience that God calls us to. And I know that, and if you haven't heard about it, I know that we have this week, starting Tuesday, Monday, starting Monday, Stations of the Cross exhibit. And it's a practice that if you're around this area and you have some time, come by. It's a deliberate way to focus on some scripture and journey on the way to the cross. It slows us down. It's deliberative. It's reflective. And it reminds us that God's journey is an act of faith and obedience. Can we do that, church? If we're going to go deep, let's be deliberate in the way we go deep. Jesus was so committed to taking this road that at the complaint of the Pharisees, who said, Rabbi, shut your people up, Jesus said, if these were quiet, even the stones would cry out. And what I think what Jesus was saying was that this is so true, that this journey is so right, that what Jesus is doing, in spite of the fact that he may want to go back, he knows that this is so right, so true, that if the people didn't cry out and praise to God, that creation would. because it was so right. How can something be so right that if the people don't speak up, that creation would? That's how much this journey was right and so deliberate for Jesus. I think this is the way, folks. We are a church on the way. Go deep. Go long. Be deliberate in your acts of faith, trust, and obedience. And we will get to Easter. We will get to Easter. That's the good news. But when we are in the valleys of the shadow of death, don't fear. Keep on going. God doesn't call you to go around, over, under, away, turn back, but to go through. And God Emmanuel is with us through every step of that journey. Let's pray. Lord, thank you this day that on this Palm Sunday, that we can see that you are calling us to the way of Christ. This deliberative act of obedience, faith, and trust in you. Lord, there are times in life when we just want to turn back. Go back to another time when things were easier. When things were more certain. When things seemed better. But Lord, you call us through the valleys. Not around, not over, not under, but through. So we go with assurance on this journey. We accompany you on that colt walking down from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem in faith, trust, and obedience. For you walk with us. So help us as a church on the way to now walk with you. Lord, through this Holy Week, help us to reflect on the things that we may have to give up, the things that we may have to entrust to you, and even the things that we have to take on for this journey ahead. For we cannot carry everything with us. So Lord, help us to reflect on these things. We know Easter is coming, Lord. And that's the good news. We know that the gospel is most fully alive in that good news. But for now, walk with us. And may we walk with you on the way. On the way to the cross, where you shed your blood and cried out for us and for this church, for our community and our world. Be with us on the way. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.